You never know what life is going to do for you or with you or to you or whatever. You just don't know. Sometimes little wonders happen, and things from way back when come all the way full circle, and then you get back together again. I'm put that on there because I think it's just a wonder that I'm sitting here across the table from Perry Pokrant. Perry, you and I go way back.
We go way back. I was the driving force behind your sitting behind the mic.
Yes, you were. I've never forgotten that.
I argued and argued and argued. Give the boy a chance.
Long story short, I got canned. Perry got hired, and you said I needed to come back.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here because of that. And so, yeah, I've always appreciated that, Perry. I've thought a lot about you over the years. I'm just glad that we're sitting here talking face-to-face today because it's a long time in coming, 20-some years.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. And, by the way, you look younger than I do.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I know.
I love radio.
Yeah, exactly.
No proof.
So we're gonna stick to that. But it's just good to see you, man. Really, really good to see you. And I hope everything in your life is fantastic and will continue to be forever. I just think highly of you. I always have. And when I first reconnected here, I saw your face. I think it was on TV, on Channel 12 or something. I thought, I always figured Perry would get involved with something like this. First of all, Fork. You've got a lot of business background, Perry, in your career. And when I saw you were representing Fork, I thought, boy, that seems to be a little bit of change of pace for Perry. So first of all, tell us, how did Fork come about, first of all?
Well, in a nutshell, retired. And after 6 months, I came out of my office and said to my wife, I said, this doing nothing is too much work.
Okay.
I said, I need to find something that you have a passion in. And she was a teacher for 35 years. Odd years, mm-hmm. And the number of stories about food insecurity, so FORK stands for Feed Our Rural Kids. Stories around food insecurity were weekly, if not nightly.
If I remember correctly, she was a kindergarten teacher, wasn't she? Or young kids, first, young, second, yeah.
Yeah, she had young kids, okay. And then she finished her career in middle school, which is a change of pace, which we all need from time to time.
Yes.
But, started an organization to feed kids. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not sure which that is, but Fork serves the school districts of North and Pines, Three Lakes, and Phelps. We provide free food programs in those school districts. As evolution happens, we ended up partnering with the Vilas and Oneida County Departments of Social Services, which is why I'm here today to speak in a broad sense to your Oneida County listeners.
Yes.
For the most part.
We got folks up in Vilas County we hear from a lot, too.
Yeah, you go right up the highway there. So about an upcoming fundraising event, and it's called Fork on the River. And whenever you're trying to accomplish any goal, everything costs money.
Yes.
And feeding kids, as any parent knows, mm-hmm. costs a lot of money, and it's an everyday. It's not like if you were building an ice arena, where once you pay for the brick, it's good for a really, really long time. When you feed a kid, they're hungry again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Actually, they're hungry again probably in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
But for the most part, that's where Fork came from. It just was looking for something to do, and It really was in that period of 2018 to 2019, and then the pandemic hit, and then there were these video images of long food lines all over the country, and the topic of food insecurity went from something that only some people understood or were aware of to something that was on, it was a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fork benefited from being, I suppose, the right charity at the right time. And we've had great community support in that journey.
I think feeding kids is not a tough sell. You've had a lot of long career in sales. Feeding kids is not a tough sell. I hope that's still the case.
Yeah, it is the case. It's interesting. When I went to as representing the organization, when I went to the first meeting to give a talk, the gentleman gets up and he asks the question. He said, "Are you going to solve poverty?" Well, no. No, we're going to try and protect the kids who are affected by families' lack of resources. And so from that day, you just have to realize that no matter how the children land there, whether it is social circumstance, or it's bad family decisions. The kids didn't have a role.
Right.
And they aren't the ones to carry that burden. But yet, in the reality of it, society, they carry the scars of that for a long time.
Like, I can't imagine being a kid that Becky used to see in class and to verbalize to the teacher that they're hungry. They didn't get to eat breakfast. They may not have had dinner last night. First of all, that starts her day off on a terrible note. But I would, I know her heart's going out to those kids. But for that kid at that age to be able to verbalize something like that, no kid should have to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and they do. I think we only feel that stigma as adults, you know, where we feel that people are judging us. Sometimes kids are just, this is the way it is. But she would have, especially middle school, because middle schoolers are in that growth spurt where there's no amount of food that fills them up. And they would come in after school and ask, do you have anything to eat? Or they'd come in after basketball, because Becky was usually there late, and try and get something for the ride home and those type of things. So when looking for something to focus on, Jeff, those stories really tell an interesting story. They make an impact on you.
Here in Tomahawk, we have a Salvation Army backpack program. Because there's a lot of kids that they're eating at school during the week. They go home, there's no food unless they take in those backpacks. So this community gets behind this, and I'm sure that we can help out your communities up north as well. So with that in mind, how many kids are you serving with Fork right now?
Oh, well, there's multiple different programs.
Okay.
But coming up, we have a program. So the backpack program runs during the school year, provides in essence some equivalent of two meals each weekend. So that'd be approximately what you're looking at. But then when the kid goes home in summer, the backpacks stop.
Yeah.
And so that's the first program Fork created, which was Fork Cares. So we provided originally, we literally delivered food as part of the pandemic. And then we went to kind of a weekend backpack we sent home. But the reality is that for a lot of kids, they don't like everything. And we've evolved into where we now provide Fork Cares, which is during the spring, summer, and winter vacations. We provide grocery vouchers. Over the course of the year, it's $300 per child. And that way, mom has control of what they buy, so that we're not buying raisins if Johnny doesn't like raisins.
Sure.
And, you know, that kind that kind of thing. So so we have a number of different programs. The one that affects Tomahawk specifically is in your school, you have resident children of Oneida County.
Right.
And so as I said earlier, we partner with Vilas and Oneida County on a food security resource guide, which Fork does. So prior to the food security resource guide, when the county would give its residents information, about 30% of that information was outdated.
Hmm.
It was wrong.
Okay.
And so on an annualized basis and literally week to week, we update the information. So your schools here, Tomahawk, gets a food security resource guide, which is a tool for its Oneida County kids.
Okay.
There's a limit to what you can do in your old age.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that standpoint, but we also then have, that's connected to that, is we support the Family Food Helpline, which is, again, partnership with the two social service departments, human service departments. And it's 888-4794, and they triage the calls. So if you're in need of food in Vilas and Oneida County, you can call, and they will walk you through what's available to you in your hometown, because different towns have different programs and access. Now, we get calls because a lot of times those messages are on a radio station that takes it all the way to Wausau, for example. So our helpline will get calls, and we simply give them the information they need related to their county.
Okay.
But we don't have guaranteed correct information.
Right. But bottom line is you try. You just want to turn somebody and say, you know what, we're too far north. We don't cover your community. Good luck on your own. You at least give them a little bit of help.
Oh, no, no. It's, yeah, they're not dumped out on.
Good, good.
No, we help them. So this Fork on the River is to help raise money to support the Family Food Helpline and those efforts.
Now, speaking of the money, first of all, I saw the 479 Fork on Channel 12. I hope they're giving you a really good rate for that because, yeah, I see it, and I remember the number 479 Fork. I see it a lot. So I hope they're doing well by you on that one.
They're very good.
Thank you, Channel 12, for doing that and getting that on there. When I think about some of our past times together, Perry, back in the old Klondike days time, where would we have been without Trig Solberg and his support of that community organization that really did a lot for our community up north for a long time? Where would we have been without Trig backing us up?
Well, I tell you, the interesting thing about community support, and I was just talking to a newspaper about that issue, is it costs money to raise money.
Yeah.
It costs money to do everything.
Yeah.
And there are, beyond Trig, and especially Trig, I owe him a lot, but our community businesses, our radio stations, they all play a role in helping us be the best possible community we can be. Doing this Fork on the River, there's expenses to do this kind of thing. So you have to make more money than your expenses. And when a business steps in, your local business, they're saying to everybody that we care. And there's probably not enough of that. But we're very lucky in the Northwoods with the generosity of our communities.
Yeah, amen to that. Let's talk a little bit. I was just in Eagle River a little while back, and I was just passing through, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this town is nothing like it was when I lived here a long time ago. And, boy, the growth in the Eagle River area has just been phenomenal. So when I saw Wildwood Outdoor Adventures in Eagle River, I was thinking, okay, that's something new. I don't know anything about that. Let's talk about them a little bit, because without them, you wouldn't be able to make this happen.
Well, this is their event. I'm here today because she couldn't come with me. But
okay.
The Bach family, Nicole and Jason, called and said, we have an idea for a fundraising event for the kids.
Okay.
And that's where Fork on the River came, because their campground is located on Mud Creek, which is really on the corner of 17 and 70.
Okay, right when you come into town. Now I know where that's at. Okay.
All right, so they built a campground there, which is quite nice.
Yeah, man, very nice.
Very nice. And so... And then they run tubing, and they run canoe, kayak rental, and so for you Tomahawk residents, when you think of the Wisconsin River, you think of your Wisconsin River, but when you get on the north side of Eagle River,
it's just a little creek.
It's a creek.
Yeah,
yeah. It is. So you get in on the entrance of this paddle. It's about 2 hours, and they call it a 2-hour paddle, but really the first hour of it, or hour 45 minutes of it, is floating, because the river just pushes you down. You're between the alders, and it's truly beautiful. And then
it's awesome.
Yeah, and then you get into what I would call the backwater, which is Waters Meet Lake, and you cross through the lake, and it's quite narrow there.
Yep.
In fact, it might be in some places as narrow as your river is.
A lot of weeds and stumps in that area. Yeah.
Well, there are, but it doesn't affect your kayak.
Right,
any.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to go in there with your Sea-Doo. You might just end up without a front end.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. But and you just follow that along, and you end up back at the campground. We have music, and everybody who shows up gets a free brat. So
this is not going to, it's not a competition or anything like that. It's just a fun paddle to raise money. So how are the funds going to be raised, besides a bunch of people going back and eating burgers and brats and stuff afterwards? How's the real money going to get raised?
So the real money is in this event, it is in participation.
Okay.
We're not, I always hate to go to the community and say to businesses, we need something for a raffle.
Now, yeah.
We do that,
mm-hmm.
but you can only do it so often.
I
mean, I'm not looking to it's hard to be an independent business person. And so it's really a day of, it's more fun. It is a family fun day. So we have music there, and they sit down, and we have a chance to talk to people. And it's just how you build your community in terms of getting people to understand what your organization is doing. It's not an arm twisting kind of, give me your money
right.
sort of thing.
You know, this could be looked at as if you're planning on going out for a paddle anyway, with the family. Why not use a teaching moment for your kids and teach them about charity? And you're doing something fun, and other kids are going to benefit from that. You tell a kid that, and the kid's going to be pushing the parents to do it more, I think.
Well, that is... Kids have very big hearts,
yeah.
You know, and maybe as we get older, we get cynical. I don't know. But kids are free.
Yeah.
So if you're coming as a family, if you have your own boat, of course, then you just pay the entry fee for mom and dad, or just dad, whatever. But
it's $45 for a boat, it says. So if there are one or two people in there, it's still $45 a boat.
It's $45 a person.
A person,
yeah.
Okay.
So in a canoe.
Understood.
Yeah, as you say, money goes to a good cause.
So people can bring their own boat. They can rent one right there. They even have stand-up paddle boards for rent there at Wildwood that day. So whatever you want to do to float down that river into Watersmeet Lake and then in back of Mud Creek there, you can do it any way you want. Just doesn't have to have a motor, basically.
Yeah, it's just not motorized.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that they're on Mud Creek because that's such a negative name. And it's
actually beautiful there, though.
It actually is a beautiful backwater,
yeah.
and until you get way back up there,
yeah,
it's not muddy.
Exactly.
Nice.
So don't let the name scare you away. It's all beautiful. It's part of the Eagle River chain. It's part of all the other great stuff that happens in the Eagle River community. But again, $45 per person. The money's going to go right to Fork. And how are you going to spend that money once you have it, Perry? What are some of the big needs?
All right. So, well, this fundraiser itself is for the Family Food Helpline. So it's what you call in the nonprofit world designated funds. So these funds are allocated to support the upgrade of the resource directory and the ongoing effort with the promoting the phone line. You know, it's when you talk about getting information out, that's the challenge, right? That's part why radio exists.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend enough money to get everybody to know.
Right.
So it's a process of telling somebody who hopefully when the Jones family ends up having a need, they have a friend who knows, or maybe they saw it somewhere. But that type of thing, it's a long-range plan. It's not something that we can do and say today we've done it. It's an ongoing challenge. So the money we have today spends for today, and then we got to do it again tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
because we have to keep that number out there. Real quick, Jeff. Food insecurity. I want to leave this with your listeners because
okay.
This is mind-boggling. 51% of children between their age of from their birth to age 18 will at some point be in a household that gets federal SNAP benefits, which are food stamps for mm-hmm. some of us older folks remembering. That's one out of two kids will be in that boat, so to speak.
In the richest country in the world.
So then you want to add 18% of kids whose families are at the poverty level, because you have to be at the poverty level to get SNAP benefits. But the family doesn't apply, whether they don't think they qualify, they don't know how.
Pride's got to come into play.
Stigma, all of those things. So now you're at more than two out of three kids. Food insecurity is not to be stigmatized. It is the rule. Every child can tell you, not every, two out of three, can tell you that it happens. You know, that's why there's that bumper sticker that says something happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's food insecurity. And it isn't always year after year after year, but sometimes it's for 3 to 6 months that something happens, life happens,
mm-hmm.
and there they are in this situation. And most people get out of it, but sometimes they fall back into it. I'd like to say we've all been there, but we've all been in those tough financial stress times. And yeah. It doesn't take a lot to tip, you know, the scale from balanced to food insecure.
And as adults, we try to hide that from our kids, but they can pick up on it. They know what's going on. They know there's something going on.
Well, mom and dad are fighting more.
Yeah, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
Because that is kind of how it is.
So the bottom line, Perry, when is this event, and how can people get signed up?
Saturday, June 6th. The paddle starts at 9. If you show up at Wildwood between noon and 2, you're going to get a free brat, but music goes noon to 4. And they can go to feedourruralkids.org. There's a link there. You just tap the link, and everything you can do right off the website.
FeedOurRuralKids.org. And so if you're so inclined to take a paddle, what's the date again?
June 6th.
June 6th. If you're so inclined to take a paddle, you want to go up to Eagle River, spend a day up there, bring the kids, bring the family, check out FeedOurRuralKids.org and make it happen. And turn it into a teaching moment for your kids. You'll all have a great time that day. We're going to put in for good weather. And make a whole bunch of money for these folks at Fork. Do you have a goal in mind, Perry?
No. I know that sounds silly. But what I want...
$1 million.
Yeah, you don't always get it.
Yeah.
So what we're looking for is there's as much value in our conversation right here as in any dollar raised at the event. Knowledge is power. The fact that maybe more people in your community now understand the risk that our children are at will mean more of them are going to support the backpack program out of the Salvation Army down here.
Sure.
And that's a win because kids should be able to be kids and shouldn't carry the failures of our society to support them.
County and city boundaries shouldn't make a difference anyway. We're all in this boat together, and so let's help out. If we're going to go paddling that day anyway, why not paddle in Eagle River?
You betcha.
Perry, I really appreciate this time with you today. Please stay in touch. I know Zach's going to turn this into a news story, so we'll multiply the ears that are going to be able to hear this. But God bless you for what you're doing, Perry. It's really good to see you, and if I had time, I'd treat you to lunch today, but I have to go and deliver Meals on Wheels today.
Good on you.
So that's the highlight of my week is Meal on Wheels time, and I have a whole bunch of chickens and handing eggs to some of my Meals on Wheels people. It just makes me feel fantastic. So otherwise, we will get together. I will buy you lunch sometime, and I happen to own a couple of kayaks. Maybe you'll see us up there paddling down there that day too.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it, Perry. Please stay in touch.